The New Enthusiasm for Slaughter. By David Bell at brownstone.org. What war means. My mother once told me how my father still woke up screaming in the night years after I was born, decades after the Second World War. World War II ended. I had not known, probably like most children of those who fought. For him, it was visions of his friends going down in burning aircraft, other bombers of his squadron off North Australia, and to be helpless, watching, as they burnt and fell. Few born after that war could really appreciate what their fathers and mothers went through. Early in the movie Saving Private Ryan, there is an extended D-Day scene of the front doors of the landing craft opening on the Normandy beaches, and all those inside being torn apart by bullets. It happens to one landing craft after another. Bankers, teachers, students, and farmers being ripped in pieces and their guts spilling out whilst they, still alive, call for help that cannot come. That is what happens when a machine gun opens up through the open door of a landing craft or an armored personnel carrier of a group sent to secure a tree line. It is what a lot of politicians are calling for now. People with shares in the arms industry become a little richer every time one of those shells is fired and has to be replaced. They gain financially, and often politically, from bodies being ripped open. This is what we call war. It is increasingly popular as a political strategy, though generally for others and the children of others. Of course, the effects of war go beyond the dismembering and lonely death of many of those fighting. Massacres of civilians and rape of women can become common, as brutality enables humans to be seen as unwanted objects. If all this sounds abstract, apply it to your loved ones and think what that would mean. I believe there can be just wars, and this is not a discussion about the evil of war, or who is right or wrong in current wars. Just a recognition that war is something worth avoiding, despite its apparent popularity amongst many leaders in our media. The EU reverses its focus. When the Brexit vote determined that Britain would leave the European Union, EU, I, like many, despaired. We should learn from history, and the EU's existence had coincided with the longest period of peace between Western European states in well over 2,000 years. Leaving the EU seemed to be risking this success. Surely, it is better to work together, to talk and cooperate with old enemies, in a constructive way? The media and the political left, center, and much of the right seemed at that time, all of 9 years ago, to agree. Or so the story went. We now face a new reality as the EU leadership scrambles to justify continuing a war. Not only continuing, but they had been staunchly refusing to even countenance discussion on ending the killing. It has taken a new regime from across the ocean, a subject of European mockery, to do that. In Europe, and in parts of American politics, something is going on that is very different from the question of whether current wars are just or unjust. It is an apparent belief that advocacy for continued war is virtuous. Talking to leaders of an opposing country in a war that is killing Europeans by the tens of thousands has been seen as traitorous. Those proposing to view the issues from both sides are somehow far right. The EU, once intended as an instrument to end war, now has a European rearmament strategy. The irony seems lost on both its leaders and its media. Arguments such as peace through strength are pathetic when accompanied by censorship, propaganda, and a refusal to talk. As US Vice President J.D. Vance recently asked European leaders, what values are they actually defending? Europe's need for outside help. A lack of experience of war does not seem sufficient to explain the current enthusiasm to continue them. Architects of World War II in Europe had certainly experienced the carnage of the First World War. Apart from the financial incentives that human slaughter can bring, there are also political ideologies that enable the mass death of others to be turned into an abstract and even positive idea. Those dying must be seen to be from a different class, of different intelligence, or otherwise justifiable fodder to feed the cause of the rules-based order or whatever other slogan can distinguish an us from a them. While the current incarnation seems more of a class thing than a geographical or nationalistic one, European history is ripe with variations of both. Europe appears to be back where it used to be. The aristocracy burning the serfs when not visiting each other's clubs. Shallow thinking has the day, and the media have adapted themselves accordingly. Democracy means ensuring that only the right people get into power. Dismembered European corpses and terrorized children are just part of maintaining this ideological purity. War is acceptable once more. Let's hope such leaders and ideologies can be sidelined by those beyond Europe who are willing to give peace a chance. There is no virtue in the promotion of mass death. Europe, with its leadership, will benefit from outside help and basic education. It would benefit even further from leadership that values the lives of its people.